Hello and welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host Owen. This is a Void Universe Theory podcast where we look at the law and try to understand how it all works. In this episode, we'll be looking at
monsters.
Welcome back, everybody, every person, every human out there, and the dog. If there's a dog listening, hello, dog. Yes, welcome back, Mistbusters. Hope you've had a good month. I've had a pretty good one. Meg, how's your month been?
Oh, God, how has it been? Good, busy, but good.
That's right, everybody. We've got a guest. It's Meg. Say hi, Megs.
Hi, everybody.
First ever repeat guest. Look at this.
Very honored.
Yes, so... That today we are going to be looking at monsters again. Yay! Woo. But this time we're going to be trying to define what a monster is. That's like the purpose. So it's kind of a part two to last episode, but like a mini part two. It's more like defining what biologically. There we go. Biologically, what a monster is, in a similar vein to what makes a mammal a mammal. Obviously, there's things like platypuses that throw this entire idea and category system out the window. However, we're humans. We like categories. We like neat little boxes. And we try to fit everything into said neat little boxes. So we're going to create a new neat little box.
I love that.
But before we get into it, we can review the question I put out to everyone. The audience feedback section. Mistbusters give us information. Yay! Fun times. So I put on Spotify, if you didn't realize, you can do polls, and sometimes I put one up, sometimes I don't. It's up to you. The Spotify was go poof equal monster ?
Excellent.
We got two yays and no nays. So the yays have it. I don't know what that means, but I just thought it'd be fun, and I thought I'd reveal the results in the episode, because why not?
Yeah, seems relevant.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to discuss if we agree with that. Those two people that said yay, basically. It's what's going to happen today. We're going to see if we agree with the two people that say yay and the no people that said nay. Like a horse. I also, as usual, did an Instagram question. What makes a monster? We got some replies. I think, Megan, you're the top one from Arim, which is the gods.
Accurate.
I saw that and went, good thing I've got Megs on guesting on this one.
Yeah.
We've also got one from Maddie, which it's a bit weird, but you know, why not? Bad guy makes monster make mash make excellent dinner. And you know what? I agree with 80% of that sentence. So
the first 80%, right? You're just not gonna.
I'm not gonna say which percentage. That's which okay. Part. It's up to people.
Yeah,
to
have
determine,
a little mystery.
You know? Exactly. Okay. Gotta be mysterious. Can't give everything.
Got it.
Also, Damien, recurring segment. Damien's segment is now here, guys. This is it. We've got it for the month. The Damien segment. If a creature has a weird body for mortals to discover the corpse, it's a monster that dusts. And I like that. That kind of works, but then also kind of doesn't. So we're gonna use that moving forward, I think, parts of that. So, and then from Magical Mythical Podcast, we got greed/determination, which I mean, again, hi, Megs. I feel like that's a very you answer.
That's the morality of being a monster, which is interesting.
As far as, yeah, that's probably also correct. It's not what we're here to, it's not what I'm here to do anyway. I don't know if anyone else is. We'll actually get into the nitty gritty of it right now. Then I was there's this post that I keep on seeing, which is British people when they are ready to go back to work, and I realized I've used some of those statements as ending section statements, right then, and there's just some of the statements, and I felt like I did one then, so let's get back to it, gotta get back to the grind. Yeah, okay.
Fight the inner British.
We're going to have a little break and then we're going to music it up. Okay, we're going to run through some of the key points from the last episode. for people that weren't listening or have forgotten, which I feel like is just both, good thing, you know? And like stuff that we can drag from that episode and plonk it into this one to help us build up a picture of what everything actually means and swish it all together to make a nice little ball. The first point is there may be something about dust versus what kills them. So like what, like wounds that dust something, a creature, versus what would like actually kill them. The idea that dust that I came up with of dusting is a survival tactic that ensures these creatures can never like truly die in battle. And this theory is supported by Miss Buster Haley. Thanks for the email. And your other comment has been noted and it will get talked about in a later date. Like, and then you've got the are monsters immortal, just in a different way than the gods. And it seems kind of like yes. And then you've got the whole exponential growth of it all. And like, which I talked about at some point in the past of like, you've got the groups of monsters versus like individual monsters, like the Minotaur versus the Telkies. Because if it is a survival tactic, it means that they're immortal beings, like themselves, the monsters themselves aren't immortal, like, but not like the gods, because they don't have ink blood and whatnot. They are immortal as an idea, and then they dust, so they don't get mortally wounded, because they are mortal in some sense.
Yeah.
So creatures that dust are immortal, but like they don't have ink in their veins. That's the key points from the last one, I think, is where it ended up in my head, was creatures that dust are immortal, but they don't have Inca. Otherwise, they would bleed like a god.
Right. Yeah, because if we look at, like, Prometheus, who's a god, who's constantly being attacked, he's just always bleeding, but he'll never run out.
And, like, Ares in the books gets stabbed and starts to bleed. So there's what's the word? Evidence. There's evidence for this.
There's evidence.
I also thought it would be useful to have a dip into the non-Greco-Roman world, because we are talking about the Royal Diversity, and as much as we can focus heavily on the fact that Percy Jackson is the main character for the entire universe, these other books do technically exist in the same universe. We need to look at it. So from what I can remember and a little bit of research, there aren't really monsters in the Crane Chronicles in the same way, because they are, all the beings in the universe are gods in some way. Just some are bad gods and some are good gods. And then they, what's the, invade humans. What's the...
Oh, like when they possess them? Do they use a different possession. Word than possession? Okay.
I use possession. they possess, yeah. When they possess different creatures. And I also think it's the same in Magnus Chase for like similar reasons. Like there's giants, dust into nothingness. They actually die. And same with the dwarves and the elves. And then... there's a few like single creatures, but we never see them get hurt into that sort of way.
Right.
It's all very much monsters in the sense that we're going to look at them are very much a thing in Greco-Roman side of this universe. That's useful. It means we can forget about the others and just go, fine. This is a Greco-Roman thing. We don't have to worry about it. All that stuff and got into a place where we all are on the same page, we all know what we're talking about. Let's see if we can work out what a monster actually is. You got any thoughts on this, Megs? Any thoughts at all?
Well, I know a lot of the like comments and things have been about them turning into dust, which obviously seems like a compelling reason of like what is a monster. But then the other side of that is that they regenerate in Tartarus. And so they seem to be the only immortal creatures who have to, like, be reborn in the worst part of the underworld from, like, a gross pus bubble. And so to me, like, that whole process of, like, being dusted and then being regenerated in Tartarus, that seems like that could be, like, the biological category of monster.
I like this. It seems nice. It seems to work. Because you can take away Pegasus's from that group. And what we were talking about last time with the Gauls and stuff. You can remove that from that group. Because they don't get reborn in Tartarus.
Pegasus is like a platypus of monsters almost. Like they're just the exception.
Pegasus are the platypus monsters. They are very much on the Damian side of that, with the point of they dust because then humans, mortals, don't find their skeleton. That's why Pegasus is dust, not because they are going to get reborn in Tartarus, which is why monsters.
Right. Yeah, because they, like, need... I guess because they can't have, like, two bodies existing. I doubt that it's, like, about literally their body being moved. I'm sure they just get a new body and are just, like, the same monster. But you don't want to have, like, 1,000 corpses of the same... Like, if monsters are immortal, if we were just leaving their bodies, those would really start piling up because they're getting killed and reborn all the time. And that would be a real problem.
There'd be a proper stack of minotaurs.
Yeah. And wouldn't that be so upsetting to be like walking through Central Park and there just be monster corpses? That seems horrible.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because they are reoccurring. It's built into the fabric of the universe that they're just kind of... We don't want these everywhere.
No, and Hades is really good at death management. So it seems like something he would like think through practically.
Yeah, but that's the... I always think about this with this sort of stuff is what came first? This process? Because in universe and in like mythology, Hades isn't always there. He's there when we hear the stories about the heroes. Technically, you have the whole Titan reign before that.
Yeah. So what was happening to dead people before Hades was like ruling the underworld?
Well, humans didn't exist until the gods were in power.
So did monsters?
This is...
Well, and that's the other thing I was thinking is like, we find out that Nyx, the goddess of darkness, has all of these like pseudo children and they don't need another parent. They're just like born from her and they're caco demons. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Cocoa puffs.
Yes, they're cocoa puffs, as Nico decides to call them by the end of the book. But I wonder if monsters have a similar relationship to Tartarus, because like they're born of Tartarus and that seems kind of like parental, like there's something about them being from him. And also monsters are mostly evil, like they mostly have bad intentions, but they're not like kids in the sense that like Percy Jackson is the son of Sally Jackson. They seem more like kids in the sense that all these horrible creatures are born of Nyx. So maybe like all these horrible monsters are born of Tartarus.
Yes.
So that would mean that monsters were probably around before humans, if like that's the case.
Yeah. It's just because the Cyclopses exist beforehand and they dust and are reborn in Tartarus, I believe. Do they? We never see them in Tartarus.
Aren't the Cyclops sons of Poseidon?
There's the original three Cyclopses, the Elder Cyclops, which aren't. And then like the sons of Poseidon and whatnot are like basically the variety of Cyclops that is the Elder Cyclops.
Oh, wait, isn't that the same with Pegasus? Isn't Pegasus, like, a god's kid?
Well, yeah, Poseidon and Medusa.
Okay.
Because it's weird.
Right, because when Medusa was beheaded...
Yeah, it pops out the neck.
Naturally.
And then, like, because then you've got the other variety of Cyclops, which you meet in everyone's favourite book, The Lost Hero, which are, like, evil Cyclops. And they definitely dust and go to Tartarus.
Okay.
We just don't see them in Tartarus, I don't think. Mar, Gasket, and that lot. They dust and then they can just go and reform while they're standing there. Because of the doors of death and stuff at the time.
Right. So we know some monsters predate humans.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's maybe it is very much just Tartarus is the energy that Tartarus gives off is one of creation in some way.
Mm-hmm.
What's it?
And he's like a primordial force, so that makes sense.
Yeah, what was the order of everything? Greek, god, family tree. What came first? Chaos. So yeah, Tartarus came from chaos, maybe? Yeah, Tartarus and Gaia are at the same level, but then technically Uranus is Gaia's son. This is like one of the hardest stories. I remember I've done an episode on the creation story, and it was like, there's like four different creation stories. The egg, I'm still confused by. Chaos created Nyx out of darkness. And then Chaos and Nyx created Hebrus, who is the underworld. And then they created day and light and air. Okay. Yeah, so Tartarus comes early. Tartarus comes after Nyx. Hang on, what were we talking about before I started? Why did I start researching that?
We were talking about monsters predating people.
Okay.
And what that means for Tartarus, I think.
Yes. So, Tartarus is early enough in the story that that works, I think, is what I was trying to get at. Because it basically creates Earth, Tartarus, and is like there at the same time. Gaia and Tartarus appear at the same time. So it's early enough that that will make sense of a place that... And Tartarus has always been the pit that people get thrown into because it's always really hard to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe... Okay. Okay, okay. Groovy Creeks. Hello. This is Editing Owen here. I'm about to go off on another one, you'll find out. Anyway, I worked out what past me was trying to figure out, and like why I was looking up the creation myth and stuff like that. So, quick, let's see how quick we can make this. So, if we run it back to Megan mentioned about Hades, and then we start talking about monsters and Tartarus. So they're the two things you've got to keep in your head. And then I start looking up the creation story. Like, what am I doing? What is going on in Owen's brain? Well, what was happening that I didn't realize was I was going, okay, so Hades rules the underworld where mortals are. What if monsters became before humans? What is the pure underworld? So the pure underworld, so that you have Gaia, and then immediately, first thing underneath is Tartarus. Like, at the same time as Gaia, you get Tartarus underneath. Gaia is like top layer, and then she creates layers above herself. You get Uberus from Nyx, which is like this in-between space, the darkness of everything between Tartarus and Gaia. But if Tartarus is the bottom before you reach nothingness, then he is where monsters should fall. Yeah? You following? Okay, good. Because you're about to now go back to Past Owen, who's going to explain it, but without this level of confidence, bravado, and also with regards to the whole collective consciousness.
Yes, science!
So there's this thing on the show that I like to refer to as the collective human consciousness of it all. And how in these stories... the gods affect us and we affect the gods. Our perception of what the myths are is true, while at the same time the myths themselves existing separately and doing their own thing. Our perception and our belief of whatever they represent influences how they act at that point in time. And then you just have... So I think it's really good with the Greek ones because it's the easiest to show it in. Is where they had their biggest power is what just sticks with them the most. And we think about them in their Greek and Roman forms a lot. So that pops up the most. But they do also have like a modern American influence just lying on top of it all. And wherever they've been in the past, they have all these different variations. And this could be happened with Tartarus and the monsters growing out. So Tartarus born, big hole, really far down, really hard to get out of. Escape the gravity of Tartarus effectively as they were thrown in the hole. And then we've associated monsters with being trapped in Tartarus. So now they just are trapped in Tartarus when they are born. When they are reborn, they're just always immediately trapped in Tartarus. Maybe. Because we've associated it with that. So it's us actually influencing the story.
Yeah. I do think that makes sense because I don't know what the like pre-Rick's books mythological premise or precedent would have been for monsters like working this way, but I think it makes sense when you're writing a middle grade to young adult book to be like bad things in Greek version of hell, and that is how that works,
because like the elder cyclops and stuff are always something does something wrong. They're thrown into Tartarus as effectively jail for themselves. I know, like, the, I'm bringing back the Elder Cyclops again, because they are specifically thrown into jail by the Titans, or into Tartarus by the Titans, and then Zeus frees them from Tartarus, which is why they help build all the weapons.
What do you think about monsters that weren't born monsters? Like, I mean, we don't, I guess, see them necessarily dust and come back. I think maybe, because, like, evil people do it too. Like, Midas, Medea. Like, there are these people who come back and seem to have, like, monster status.
Yeah, those ones shouldn't be alive in the first place.
Right, they escape through the doors of death, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, I guess, like, Scylla and Charybdis are not monsters in the sense of, like, biological category of monster, where you dust and are reborn in Tartarus, because you don't kill them in the same way. Like, Scylla and Charybdis aren't having to be reborn because they're not being killed. So I guess we think of them as, like, similar to monsters, but they're not really. They're more just beings punished by the gods. The stories are, they're both, like, basically young women that did something, like, quote-unquote wrong, and then Zeus turned them into those two things. So, like, in my head, it's similar to a monster, but I guess in the, like, Ryan-verse category of monster, it's not, because they don't dust and be regenerated. They're just, like, beings that are now immortal. But what about the Minotaur? Because the Minotaur wasn't born of Tartarus. Like, it was born from Pasiphae. And then, but does dust and come back to life. So I guess, like, that's just interesting. I guess we don't know how monsters necessarily get created, though. We just know what happens once they're created and they start being, like, dusted and then come back.
When the cycle begins, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, like, well, like, cyclopses are born of Poseidon sometimes and dust. So I guess it doesn't matter who your parents are.
No, I think when I did the... did a whole episode because of exponentialism and human birth and how we've exponentially risen. It's like, how is the world not full of Telkines, was like my example, because they have their own kids and they both have a normal lifetime, and then, like, but they can also get dusted and reborn,
like, within that lifetime.
Yeah. Well, it's like and with the collective human consciousness of it all, there's actually only a limited number that can ever exist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we can only remember. They can only get as big as we know of them. So that if they're more hidden, there's usually a smaller group.
Because the gods could just cease to exist if we stopped believing in them. So, like, that could be population control for monsters.
Yeah, well, yeah. If we stop talking about a myth can die out.
Right.
Because you get the individual monsters versus the group of monsters. And I think that is very much on how we perceive them in the stories. If it is a one-off, like the Minotaur, where it's the Minotaur. It's not Minotaurs or Cyclopses, it's the Minotaur. I think that's the one-off versus the group scenario. So things that dust that we would consider monsters now, but were, like, born humans. That's the... Because we know Medusa and her sisters go to Tartarus.
Right. And they were just normal mortals at one point.
Yeah. So is it, again, just we've went, oh, they're monsters now, so then they just get lumped in the system?
Or did the gods, like, punish them as monsters? Was it, like, their intention to be like, well, you're part of the punishment is that you're going to be immortal, so whenever someone tries to kill you, you regenerate?
Yeah, I guess it's whether when the regeneration cycle started. They were living the Greek stories, and maybe it's when the Greek stories started to die out, the cycle re-began, and the whole new blood comes in, as in the demigods, has to fight the old blood.
Yeah, because if the Greek myth canon is completed, like, we're not going to come up with more, then it makes sense that regeneration would have to start, because if we're going to keep using something but we can't add to it, we have to recycle, basically. So that does make sense. Because it's not like, obviously, when they were writing myths about Hercules during, like, ancient Greek times, they were coming up with, like, new things for him to do and experience. But now, yeah, when we're coming up with myths about Percy and Annabeth, like, we can't do that. We have to reuse things. So they have to regenerate.
Yeah. And then you get the whole Rick's weird, like, symbolism of the whole new blood, same fight.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. They just went, I think it might be how we categorized them in our stories. It's they were human and then they became monster. And because they became monster, they get reborn in Tartarus. And maybe that's why things like Pegasus Pegasi don't go into Tartarus. We consider them cool animals rather than monsters. Like, if someone went, list monsters, Pegasus, you wouldn't list Pegasus. Like, that wouldn't be on your list of monsters. And neither would, like, the Gauls and the Germani. They wouldn't be on your list either.
Yeah, so, like, part of it is just what we think is good and what we think is bad. And, like, what we would associate with. Like, it would seem incongruous for something like Pegasus, which is supposed to be, like, beautiful and honorable, to come out of, like, the worst part of existence.
Yeah, so instead they're half-blood horses that dust.
Right.
So, I think that's a good discussion.
Productive.
I think, okay, we've now got to try and summarize this somehow. And I'm going to make a note of this so I can come back to it at any time. Okay, so step one, so there's a three-step thing to tell if something is biologically a monster. Step one is, does it dust?
If the answer is yes, move to step two.
Step two, you ask, does it get reborn in Tartarus? I don't know what step three is, but I could, when I said the numbers, I went, there's three steps, and now I've forgotten step three.
Is it something about how people view them? Like the collective conscious?
Yes.
Do we think it's evil?
Do people consider it a bad thing or just a thing?
That seems like that should be step two. It's like it dusts, and then whether we think it's evil determines if it regenerates in Tartarus.
Yeah, the step two, 2A and 2B.
Yeah, that's that's good.
It's a two-step process, yet step two is split into two parts.
Amazing.
Guys, now you've got these three if statements. You can build a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Give yourself a load of if statements and it will classify. You can just answer the questions and it will classify if you think they're monsters or not.
Actually, and as you're walking around the world, if you see something and you're like, oh my God, is that a monster? You know exactly how to assess whether it is. And that's just important for safety.
Exactly. In the real world, though, I would ignore step one and just go straight to step two.
Yeah, I think I'd just run.
No. If you're in the world and you're looking at someone and like, are they secretly a monster? You can't test step one. We can't do that. We don't want you to do that.
But then how can you test step two?
Do you think it's bad?
Okay, so just step 2A is the only thing you can do. Yeah. So we're just telling you to be super judgmental.
Do you think it bad? If yes, monster. And then even more so, do you think if this person was to vanish into nothingness, would they get reborn in Tartarus? If the answer is still yes, 100% of them.
Just like the vibe you're getting. Like you can't test it because that's murder. Exactly. But you just have to like assess.
It's the vibe. It's all about the vibe.
Right.
You read the vibe and you go,
you seem like somebody who was reborn from a pus bubble in Tartarus, so.
Me?
No, not you. Just people in the world. I don't think you're a monster, Owen.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. I think it's good life advice. Oh, really? I think we did good here, Megs. High five. Megs, tell people about you, because we haven't done that before we leave.
Sure. My name is Megs. I have two podcasts that I'm on more regularly than I'm here, because I've only been here twice. One of them is the Monstrous Woman podcast, which is a feminist media analysis podcast.
Because you host the other two.
Yeah. So I'm there every time. And then, which is true of what I said more often than I'm here.
It's true. It's just a weird way to say it.
And then I also host the Trum Grammar Book Club podcast, which is a Heartstopper podcast. And those are both available on all platforms.
Like I usually say when I do it. Whatever you're listening to this on, it's on here somewhere.
Yeah. Just hit that search button.
Exactly. Links will be in the description for the sode if you want to check any of those out. Megs, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a blast. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or theories of your own that you want me to discuss, you can email them through to foo.teat.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow on the Instagrams @foo_mist. Make sure to like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, do whatever you have to do to help get the podcast out there. I've been Owen. You've been
Megs.
And come back next time as we try to see Foo-ba-me! That is how an episode's been done.